This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, coming up later, the latest on the Park Street Strategic Rail Freight Interchange and whether that's still the right name for it. But first, some good news. Did you see the baby peregrine falcons have at last emerged from their eggs in their nest on St. Albans Cathedral Tower, watched by many excited peregrine lovers on the Nest webcam? Three tiny, fluffy, white baby peregrines appeared on the 11th of May, and their mum and dad, Alban and Boudica, are taking great care of them in what looked to me like really very difficult circumstances. If you go to the webcam that's on the St. Albans Cathedral website, you can see just how cold and windy and often wet it is up there on the tower. But Alban and Boudica are taking it all in their stride. And there's even more good news. This year, Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust and the St. Albans RSPB will once again be running Peregrine Watch in the Abbey Orchard. That's the grassy bit downhill from the cathedral. Join them every Saturday and Sunday until the 16th of July between 11 and 3 to get a closer look at the peregrines. Now, we are just so lucky having not just the peregrine falcons, but also the heronry, down on the lake, and the egrets, and so many other wonderful birds like the kingfisher right in the heart of St. Albans. So do go and enjoy this wildlife if you can. And if you can't, then do take a look at the Peregrine Nest webcam, which I have to say is surprisingly addictive watching. Now, back to the ongoing saga of the Park Street Strategic Rail Freight Interchange. We've heard about it many times here on Environment Matters, the huge rail-to-road freight interchange planned for the old Radler Aerodrome site off the A414 near Park Street by the company Segro. Now, most recently, Councillor Nuala Webb told us how, after years of nothing happening and to campaigners' disappointment, things were at last going ahead, with Herts County Council agreeing to sell a critical portion of the site that they own to Segro, the company who will be building the interchange, and Segro indicating that they would be starting work soon. Campaigners had just a small window of opportunity before the agreed sale actually took place to challenge Herts County Council's decision to sell, a decision that Herts County Council say they have no choice over. If you missed the show, then do catch up on the podcast page of mix92.6.com. Now, Councillor Nuala Webb of the Save St Albans Fight the Freight campaign group emailed amanda.yorworth at mix92.6.com and asked if she could come back and update us with the latest developments. I spoke to Councillor Webb. Crucial to the Herts County Council being a reluctant seller of the part of the site that they currently own is whether there have been any material changes since plans for a rail freight interchange were approved back in 2014. Now, Herts County Council's resources and performance team have prepared a report to help councillors with exactly that issue, and they concluded that there were no such material changes. So why did the campaign group disagree?
Yes, at the time that Eric Pickles granted planning permission in 2014, it was the only show in town. But Sundon, which was one of its original three competitors, it's just north of Luton, about 15 miles away, was granted planning permission a year later in July 2015. And it was since had a junction specially built, junction 11A on the M1. It's got a new bypass, which is going to be part of the North Luton bypass. It's got really good plans for the rail. It has both the north and the south entry, whereas we've only got south. We also have no motorway link, but they do. And it's got room for four sidings. It's wanted by the area. It's a regeneration area. They want it. They've got the staff to work in the area. They're ready to go. It's 15 miles to the north of us. And to the south of us, there's what was called the Wilston Euro Terminal, which was a customs base connection with the Channel Tunnel. But because of very low flows of freight trains from Europe, it was actually closed down prior to 2014, so it didn't exist then. But because of HS2, it has been re-established. Currently is being used by HS2 to take bulk soil and diggings out of London and goods for the tunnels that they're digging to Old Oak Common in. But once HS2 is done, it's got links to the channel. It's got links to HS2 up to Birmingham beyond. It is gauge compliant, so it can take the intermodal shipping containers, and they will be able to go all the way up to the Midlands and Birmingham. So it will be a functioning rail freight interchange. That's 15 miles to the south. We've got Luton, 15 miles to the north. We are not needed anymore. And both have much, much better links than we do.
Okay. So you don't think there's a strategic requirement for a freight interchange at Park Street, whereas there might well have been back in 2014?
Yes. And another decision in Dartford very recently, the Secretary of State there, James Rokenshire at the time, actually dismissed a similar application for a rail freight terminal by Roxhill, because in the interim, the Thames Gateway had been constructed and is operational. And he said Dartford and Thurrock were too close, so there was no need for the new one, even though back in 2007, it had been granted planning permission. The other thing that has changed massively is to do with e-commerce and traffic, something that couldn't have been foreseen in 2014. That interchanges at that stage were business to business. Freight came in and it would go out on lorries to retailers. Now freight comes in and it goes out in white vans and cars to doorsteps, which involves a huge amount of extra traffic, and traffic that is under 7.5 tons. So it isn't controlled. It can go anywhere, but there'll be a lot more of it. And we don't lose the lorries, because if they come in full, they've still got to go out, even if they're empty.
Also, in putting together a dossier showing how you allege Herts County Council have ignored key factors, your campaign group have also been looking at Office for Budget Responsibility figures about demand for rail freight generally. And what did you find there that might help your campaign?
Well, the growth in rail freight has been actually much lower than people had forecast, and certainly Network Rail had forecast. It's 0.5% annually. And that's partly because the actual structure of our railways needs a huge amount of investment to make this more possible around the country. For example, we discovered that Felixstowe, which is our major container port, has only one track in, and it's been a major port for 30 odd years. Their plan is in the next 10 years to get four tracks in. But that and HS2 and the Oxford to Cambridge line, all of these things require huge investment.
So you found all these material changes which you think that Herts County Council should have taken into account in deciding whether they were forced to sell their part of the site. Have you told them about these? Have you shown them your legal advice?
We've shown them the legal advice, and our KC, Paul Brown, who's an expert in the area, he found, going through all the documents, that there were two legal reasons that they could lawfully refuse to sell the land. And if they really were reluctant sellers, we even offered to help them build the case to refuse the sale of the land. First one, as we've discussed, with the big changes since 2014, and we've prepared a big dossier which is incredibly well referenced. And the second one was on fiduciary grounds. A county council should not create liabilities which are unfunded. And at the moment, we know that we believe that the amount that they're getting paid, and we've heard this from three different sources, is 30 million for the land. And the roads, which the SEGRA has not committed to at all, the external roads to the site, the Park Street roundabout, London Colney roundabout, then in between, we've done calculations on the amount of spend that they would cost to make the system work with 15,000 extra vehicle movements a day, it would be in the range of 100 million and possibly more, which would leave an unfunded gap of 70 million. And at the moment, there's no legally binding documents that show that SEGRO are going to pay for these roads. And in fact, in two meetings, they told me that they weren't. So that's one of the big problems. And the KC said it would be perverse if Herts County Council went ahead with selling the land when it was going to create such financial problems that all Hertfordshire residents would end up having to pay for.
So, Nuala, the other thing which you think is becoming clear is that the interchange won't involve rail, but will be a road-to-road interchange. Now, what's led you to believe that this is the case?
Well, I was talking earlier about the problems with Network Rail's investment funding to try and improve the network. One of the problems is most of our tunnels were built a very long time ago. They're Victorian, and they were built for much smaller trains. And the new containing shipping containers that are coming through from China and so on, they're 9 foot, 6 inches high. And our tunnels between us here and London, the Elstree and Belsize tunnels, are 18 inches too low to take these new containers. They just don't fit. And the only way that that can be addressed is to lower the rails by 18 inches. But there's 3.3 miles of these tunnels. And these are Victorian tunnels. They've got things built and roads over them and houses on top. Once you start lowering those, it's going to take months and months, if not years, to do the entire work. More than half the capacity would be lost. And it would be incredibly expensive to do. SEGRO can't do it because it would make their site uneconomic. And Network Rail has said that it intends to try and make all these tunnels the right height. But this is not a priority for them. I've gone through all their funding priorities for freight. There's nothing down this end. And unless a humongous amount of money is being going to be thrown into rail investment, I can't see it happening. And the alternative, the low wheel base, even Network Rail says they're uneconomic because they only can take half the load. They're unpopular, they're expensive to maintain and run, and there aren't that many of them around.
And why do you think that the likelihood that the interchange will not include rail but be a road-to-road interchange instead is so important?
A lot of people accuse us of being NIMBYs and being anti-rail. I've lived in Germany. I've seen the benefit of getting freight off the roads and onto rail. It works very well there. We'd love to see it, but this isn't it. There is going to be no rail, and therefore it'll be a lorry-to-lorry terminal. That's a huge amount of extra pollution, as well as terrible destruction of 300 acres of greenbelt, which has been preserved and has been identified since 1938 as Metropolitan Greenbelt. And the county council in the past tried to protect with everything it could do to try to protect this greenbelt. And just turning it into a big warehouse sheds with huge amount of traffic, we're already suffering terrible pollution and air quality. And this would just add to it and as well create gridlock on roads that can't cope at the best of times.
So the sale by Herts County Council is likely to take place soon. How will you be campaigning now? Oliver Dowden, MP for Radlett, he is now Deputy Prime Minister. Do you think that make a difference, do you think, to your campaign?
Radlett has always been one area that has been very much against this supposed rail freight interchange. They will be affected very much by the traffic. If anyone could make a difference, he could. He's been very vociferous against the rail freight from the past, and he's recently come out with a letter calling it ludicrous and unnecessary. He mentioned it in his end of term report for Easter, a whole paragraph against the rail freight. Now that he is Deputy PM, he could express a desire that Herts County Council relook at this. We're going to hold a roadshow in Radlett, an information evening, and a call to people who want to support the campaign and donate to a judicial review, which we are preparing for when they do finally sign. and we know exactly what the deal is.
So you've got your roadshow in Radlett on the 21st. And then on the 23rd, you're inviting people to join you for a protest at County Hall. Can you give us a little bit about that?
Yes, well, the people at County Hall could stop this immediately if they stopped the sale of the land, the 300 acres owned by Herts County Council. And they have a cabinet meeting on the 23rd at 2 o'clock. So we're gathering a bit before one to just make them aware of the protest and the scale of upset and distress and worry that they're causing to residents and how much we want them to listen to our voices. It makes no sense in environmental terms. It makes no sense financially.
So if we want to find out more information about both of those events, we look on your website. And can we also find there how we can donate to help your fighting fund in case you do go to judicial review?
Yes, there's a GoFundMe site. If you go on the website, it directs you to where you can make donations. Till we have no more room to run, we are going to fight this.
Nuala, thank you so much for telling us about that.
Thank you very much.
I was talking there to Councillor Nuala Webb of the campaign group Save St Albans Fight the Freight, and their website is savestalbans.com. I contacted Herts County Council and their spokesperson said, as part of the sale process, the County Council has sought and received external updated opinion from Council. We have made this advice public for review by any interested parties. Due to commercial sensitivity, a small section has been redacted, but the premise remains that following the approval by the Secretary of State for a strategic rail freight interchange on this site, we are obligated to sell our land interest if a number of conditions are met. The planning permission granted by the Secretary of State was for a strategic rail freight interchange at the site of the former Radlett Aerodrome, and this is what we expect to be built on the land if it is sold. We have previously and continue to commit to working with the local planning authority to ensure that any development is in line with the planning permission in place. I'll keep you updated. I'll be with you at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.